Parshas Bereishis, Toshin Ayin Tes, very exciting. And there's some good news that at our last share we said, dedicated the share for Mordechai David Ben Leah, who was supposed to go in California for a share operation. And Baruch Hashem, when they got to California, the doctor read the scan again, did like a new scan, and they said that it could be that what they saw was not that the tumor had gotten smaller. And they did not have to do surgery, and they called the surgery off. Baruch Hashem, Amamisha Nisim, and maybe they misread it, and it was actually a shat. Whatever it was, Baruch Hashem. So he has to go back in a couple of months. He's not out of the woods, but Chazde Hashem, what they thought was gonna be a last ditch effort, Baruch Hashem. So tefillah, you know, tefillah always helps. Yeah. But sometimes you see the results, and sometimes you have to have betachin. So Hashem creates the world. Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn a few things about that creation. So, but first, and we're going to take, you know, of course, Bereishis is not saying you can do methodically in a half hour. So we'll take a few points. So the first thing I want to talk about is the Yom HaShlishi. It says in the Pasuk Tes, V'yom Lekim Yikava Hamayim Yitachas HaShemayim, gather the waters, El Makam Echad, Seirai Yibosha, and let the ground, the dry land be seen, V'yichayim. Pasuk Yud, Vayikra Lekim LeYabosha Aretz. He calls it Eretz. He calls it land. Ol Mikveh Hamayim Kara Yamim. Yar Lekim Kitayf. Ayar Lekim Tadshei HaAretz Desha. And here we'll see how we translate it. We're going to take the herbage will come out. Esav grass Mazriah Zer, which will have seeds. Eitz Pri Eiser Pri Luminai Asher Zarabo Al Aretz V'Yichein. And it all came out. So we see that the Pasuk tells us that Hashem gave us all these wonderful things that they grow in the ground. And later on, the Pasuk talks about it again, and when it talks about it the second time around, and it says, the Aretz Terem Yitzmach, it uses another Lashon of it growing up, and the pasuk tells us v'chol siach hasada, and all his terem yitzmach ba'aretz before it came into the land, v'chol esav hasada terem yitzmach, and all of the grass of the field before it sprouts. So the Gemara comments on it and says, why does the Torah tell us this a second time before it came out and before it had sprouted? So the pasuk says ki lo hinter Hashem lekim al aretz, because Hashem had not yet had it rain. Umatam lohimter, and the Gemara tells us why doesn't it rain? Ki adam ein lavas adama. So the pasuk tells us later on, when it talks about it a second time, it says chalsiach hasada terem yibaris, all of the growth of the field before it came in the land, and all of the grass before it sprouted. And why did it not sprout yet? Because there was no rain. Why was there no rain? Because there was no person to serve to plow the land or to till the land. So the Gemara tells us, and we all know this Gemara, famous Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samech Amid Beis, the Daf Yomi will be getting to Chulin soon, Sheyatzu Deshoyim Va'amdu HaPesach Rekia, that the Deshoyim, all the grass, all the herbage, stood on the, up there in Shemayim, by the Rekia, Ad Sheba Adam Rishon Ubika Shalem Rachman, until Adam came and he davened. Until then, the didn't come out. V'yorduk shamim v'tzamchu. And the shoyim then came out. So it was all waiting. Have you ever been to a play, and there's like a curtain, and you can sometimes see one of the actors peers out and looks out at the crowd, and they're all standing and waiting. And then the curtain opens, and the actors come onto the stage. So the same thing, they're all sitting and they're waiting. What were they waiting for to come out to this world? They're waiting for the rebounded, for Adam HaRishon to daven, to ask for it. Lamedcha, the teacher says the Gemara, Shakarish Baruch Hu misav l'tfilosin shal tzaddikim, that Shakarish Baruch Hu desires, thirsts for the tefil of tzaddikim. Rav Nachman Papa haya lagina. Rav Nachman Papa, the Gemara tells us, had a garden. Zara v'loitzmicha, he planted it and it didn't grow. Bikish rachim v'yored mater v'tzmicha. So he davened, and then he came out, and then the rain came and it grew. Amr zeu shashaninu shakash baruch hu mis'av l'tfilasenu. This is what the Pasuk tells us, that Hashem, what the Chazal tells, Hashem desires our tefillahs. So we have an important lesson as soon as we start the Torah, and that lesson is that everybody says, what's the use of davening? And this question of misfortune, deal with it, not my question. If it's going to happen, that's good, this is going to happen. If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And the answer is, it could be a very good thing, but it will not happen unless we daven for it to happen. And with this, we can answer a few questions, including an incident that happened to me personally over 40 years ago that I never understood until today. Sherry, you're going to be here to understand how I, when I came into the Mir Yeshiva, so I had an incident when I was trying, when I was applying to come in, and we'll, Mr. Hashem, you'll remind
in
me, and we'll talk in Yerushalayim. When I was in Yerushalayim, so we'll see in a second. I don't want to jump. Okay. So with this, we can answer a few questions. So if you want to take a look in Perek, let's go a little bit weiter in the story of Leah. And the story of Leah is here in Perek Choftes, Pasuk Lamed Hey. And we take a look at when Leah was having her children. So the Pasuk tells us that she had three children in a row. She went very quickly. Right? She had the children. Batar, Oy, let's go take a look at the bottom, page 84. Batar, Oy, Batelet, Bain. Batar, Me'ata, Pam, Yilav, Ishi, Alai. My husband will be together with me. Ki yaladati like Shleishabun, because he gave three sons. You know the famous vitz that they say on this? Why did she call him Levi? Now my husband will have to be with me. He couldn't be with him when she had two kids. Now by three. So they say, when you have one child, you hold the child with your right hand. When you have two children, you hold one on the right, one on the left. When you have three children already, you need your husband to hold the third one. So that's why she said,
upon,
what?
Didn't she have maid servants? She had people to help her.
I think she would rather have her. Okay, since you men, I'm going to tell you, I once had a din Torah with my wife over this shaila. Here's the shaila, and this is what Reb Hirsch Feldman, the Mashgiach of the Mir Paskin. So my son was a child, and I was learning the Mir. My wife was working, and we put him in daycare from the morning. So the shaila was, what do we do in the afternoon? So my wife told me I should stay home and learn at home. And I told her I should go back to yeshiva and get another babysitter. Yeah. So we went to Reb Hirsch Feldman with the shaila. So he said that up until a certain age, when the baby's very little, they don't really know the difference between, like, a parent holding them, just, you know, you can hand a little baby to anybody, they'll hold them. You get to a certain age, I can tell you this from simplest Torah, when you're trying to hold my ankle, you know, your kid gets to a certain age, you give them to anybody else and they know the difference. So the difference between a father taking care of a child and a maidservant is a totally different experience. So Leah would have every right to say, I want my husband to take care of the child, help me, not just give it to a maidservant. So that's my answer.
So what did the rabbi pass?
So the rabbi passed, she was right. I had two din Torahs, my wife, I lost both. So, and I say this in front of the whole world. So
you have to stay home.
So what happened? Listen to this, Mamash. You see a Godel passing sign. So I stayed home. Started staying home. She, her work liked her so much, they let her come home an hour earlier.
Oh.
So I was able to go back a little bit late. But what happened was, I got a call at that time. There were people coming out of Iran. I think it at that point there were people starting to come out of Iran, and they needed somebody to learn with them. And I ended up saying a shir, and they came to my house, Bainasdorm. So I said a shir for like 10 or 15 people at that time. So it was, so instead, of, you know, so it worked out, Baruch Hashem. But that, so that's your answer. I just too good
what
to
age
pay.
Was
it was too good to pass up, sorry.
What age was he?
He said up to one. He was like, we was one. He said, until one they don't know, after one they know who it is.
We always stay home. It's probably people at the beginning. You always stay home with their children. They never
even
work.
Before
okay.
one, if they
never
don't
work.
Know you, they try.
Okay.
Them
so anyway, so let's continue. But that's not why we're here. That's why we're
that's
here.
True.
We're here to ask a different question. Okay. Says ki lav ki ladi like shleisha bunin al kain kershmo levi v'tar oy v'telit bein v'tar pam oydus Hashem. She has the fourth child because she knows that she's going to have either 12 shvatim to be born. And she said, I thank Hashem, because really everyone should, each of us should get three. And I remember four, so I thank Hashem that he gave me an extra one. Al-Kain Karashmo Yehuda, Vatamar Miletus, and she stopped having children. How do we know he stopped having children? It wasn't even Vatamar Miletus, she stopped having children. She had two more after this, right? She had Yisachar Zvulun. So what does it mean? How do we understand Vatamar Miletus? That's question number one. Question number two is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to lead the Jewish people, says we all know, he famously gave the Ribbono Shelam a very hard time. He didn't want to do it. And the reason he gave, it says, if you take a look at page 158 at the bottom, he says, we'll give you siman. Pasuk Yud, Moshe Rabbeinu gives a speech. Please, my master, I'm not a man of words. I'm a kvad peh. I don't speak well. I have poor chitach adibur. I'm not able to speak. And I can't do it. I have a speech defect. And it's not possible. Hashem gives him back a speech. And he says, who exactly makes people this way? Me. I can heal you. The Atta, so what does Hashem say? Lech, go, I'll be with you. I'll tell you what to say. And he says, I can't do it. He says, I'll give you yarn. So the shail is, when Hashem said, I can heal anybody, why didn't he heal him? Why did he not heal Moshe? Moshe said, I give a kvat peh, I can't do it. So he says, don't worry about it, I can heal anybody. And then like the conversation continues and we go and get Aaron to go speak for him. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not be healed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time? Those are our two questions. There's some others he brings, but we'll bring these. He tells a story like this. He says, after by the Second World War, so there was a big Rosh Hashiva by the name of Rabbi Aryeh Malin, very big Rosh Hashiva, and he had very close talmidim who were mamish iber gegebi, and people who Rabbi Aryeh Malin. Yeah, one of them was Remechel Shurkin. These are famous Litvish and godly names. You know, Remechel Shurkin at that time was 16 years old. And he wanted very much to learn by Rabbi Malin. So he was up, it seems he was up in the country, it was during the summer, he was in the country in camp, and he wanted to go for a farher. So he travels down, you know, from camp, as you know, even today it can take quite a while to get up from the mountains. He comes to Rabbi Malin, and he gives him bechina. So he gives him, and he came with a friend. He says, even what the friend's name was, is it Bernstein or something? Bernstein. Rubnitz. I'm sorry, Yeshua Rubnitz. He comes with a friend. Based on the names. Okay. So they come to Rabbi Malin, and he gives them fair hair, and that's probably very high level fair hair, and they do well. So he says, okay, thank you. And they go home. They go back. He says, come again. So they come again, second time. Take it for hair, do very well. And he says, okay, great, thank you. Okay, come next week. So their mom's scratching their heads, like they knew they did well. You know, when you get a test, you know if you did okay. They knew they did. So come here, what's going on here? So finally, they come the third time, they take the test. Again, he sits there. So finally, this Rubnitz turns to him and says, Yarmen na Rosh Hashiva, ha'imis gabalnu alok. Did you accept us to the Yeshiva or not? So he says, what are you talking about? I accepted you the first time already. So he says, why didn't you say something? He says, you didn't ask. He wanted to hear them ask, I want to come to your yeshiva. It wasn't enough that they passed the farher. They had to show they wanted to come. And this answered, as I said, a 40-year-old kasha that I had. When I came to the Mir Yeshiva in 1972, so I got a farher from Reb Nachum Pratsovitz and from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. So I was all of 18 years old, and Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, why do you want to come here? It's the Andrew Yeshivas. Why do you want to come to Mir Yeshiva? He says, Gaitzer of Scheinberg. It's the Andrew Yeshivas. Why do you want the Mir? And I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, I wasn't expecting, you know, to take it for here, you prepare for the test and everything like that. But to have somebody say, what do you want to do here? I said, I want to come here and learn. I came all the way to the show, I want to learn. So he said, okay, fine, you can come into the yeshiva. So I never understood why he gave me a hard time. And now I understand. He wanted to hear me say, I want to come to your yeshiva. It wasn't enough that I should just, you know, take it as like sort of my birthright that I had a brother learning there. Therefore, you know, I get to come here. You know, came all the way from America. It's come to America. We want to hear you say, "Ich will." I want that you should. I want to come here. So therefore, that's what the Rebbe Yisrael is saying. That's what the lesson we learned, the profound lesson we learned from Adam Rishon. That Adam Rishon was telling us this lesson, that if you want to, the Rebbe Yisrael was telling us the lesson, that if you want to get some, you have to ask for it. The Rebbe, and that's what tefillah is all about. Tefillah is the world set up in a way that Rebbe Yisrael is setting up a world with cult of every good thing is in this world. All you got to do is ask. You have to ask. You have to show you want it. Because when you ask, it shows you appreciate it. If somebody, if you have a child, right, you often have, he walks in, he's by, you're with your child by a, let's say, Shabbos by somebody's house, and there's food on the table, and the child walks in and just grabs some. So you, the parent gets like really upset. You have to say, please, you know, can I have some? And then when you leave, say thank you. And children have to be trained because it doesn't seem to come naturally. They have to be trained and then forced and knocked, and eventually they get the hang of it. So the Torah tells right up front, right from day three, right there, that you got to Hashem set up a world in which we have tefillah, in which we ask for things, and if we give them, the Rebbe Yisrael will give us that which he asked for. So he says, this is now pshat. We go back to Leah. Leah had three children already. And now she got a fourth. And she said, thank you. But thank you, she didn't ask for the future. So she didn't have a tamayt miletus, he answers. Why? Because she didn't ask. She didn't ask for more. And he says, the Gemara in Brachos Nun Dal Amal says, Shetzarek losis hayda al sha'avar, that whenever we do something, we have to thank Hashem for the past, velitzayk al ha'asid. And then we have to cry out for the future. We always, whenever we ask for the past. We thank for the past, we ask for the future. It's part of the same tefillah. And he brings a few examples. In Nishmas, so what do we say? Adhena azuruna rachamecha, valticheno lenetzach. Adhena, until now you helped us, and don't forsake us for the future, forever. We ask in all of our tefillahs. When we say, maidim derabbanim, say brachos v'odos al shechisanu v'kiamtanu. Thank Hashkadosh Baruch Hu that He kept me alive. Came to chayenu skaymenu. Please help me into the future. So whenever you get, it's not enough to say thank you. You also have to ask for the future. And if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's what he's saying. So we invite them in Rebbein Kailamim on Leil Shabbos. It says maidani lefenecha kol achesa shosisi madi. What you did and what you're going to do. And if you've ever heard anybody bench gaimel, if you ever heard any bench gaimel, because if you're, it says in the gaimel, if you look at the gaimel brothers, and Misha Gamalcha Kaltuv, who are you Gamalcha Kaltuv? He who gave you, it's very hard to say, everybody gets tongue tied on this one, say it 10 times. Misha Gamalcha Tuv, who are you Gamalcha Kaltuv? Though Hashem who gave you, he should continue to give you. So every time we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we always have to remember, ask for the future. So you have to ask. I remember we said from Rav Victor Miller that if somebody has a toothache, he said, and you don't go, and you go to the dentist, and the dentist fixes the toothache, you wasted the whole toothache. Because the purpose of toothache was to ask Hashem to help you solve the toothache.
And that's what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a toothache. There was a time he had a toothache.
Okay.
And Hashem said, put this on it, put that in it. He says, yeah, but you have to ask me to heal you.
Oh, that's the answer. So that bingo, that's the answer. So we asked the second kasha. The first was from Leah. Second kasha was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, Moshe says, I can't speak. Hashem says, who do you think heals people? And Moshe doesn't say anything. So the answer is, why did Hashem not heal him? Because he didn't ask. If he'd asked, he would have been healed. We said another pshat another time, but we don't have time for it. But that's it. So he ends with a very beautiful story. This yisoy, it's a tremendous yisoy. It's a life-changing yisoy that we have to be in the frame of reference to always be asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, you know, we're a little bit sometimes too focused on fixed tefillah. Tefillah is something that's a conversation we have to rebuttish from our whole life. So wherever we go, we should always be thinking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. I'm about to take a test, help me. I'm about to take a job interview, help me. I'm about to, you know, get into a car and drive somewhere, help me, Hashem. And if we ask, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. So he tells a story like this. He says, that to show that, you know, how important this is. And in Matthew, he brings from the Brisker Rav. Interesting, he says that they said if they didn't in Ava Rabba. I'm sorry. The Nesiv says, Rabbi Isser Zalman said in the name of the Nesiv that he said if by Ava Rabba he doesn't cry. When it says in Avara, same belibeno bina lahavin lahaska lishma lilmud ulamed lishma velas lakayin, that I don't learn that well that day, because Hashkodesh Baruch is waiting to hear those words. Waiting to hear, he's going to ask me. He's going to say Avara with real. Is he going to say atachayin and adam das and start crying? Hashem, please don't make me mess up at work today. You know, please make me not at home. I should only say smart things. I shouldn't say dumb. You know. You have to put your kaiches into Shema Kaleinu. If you really put a kaiches in the tefillah, that's what Kosh Baruch Hu is waiting to hear. So he says that's the pshat, is when we say Ava Rabba, so we have that in mind. So he tells the story as follows. He says that there was a sefer that came out called the Amudei Or from the, he says, Agoyim Misavalk. I assume it's Rav and Lifshitz. I assume it's the Valka Rav. And he put out, and everybody was like, enjoying the Sefer very, very much. And it was a brand new Sefer. Every so often a Sefer comes out like Sturms the Welt, everybody, like Nesiva Shalom, Rav Shamshon Pinkus, you know, there's certain Sfarim that come out and like just everybody goes, you know, wild over the Sfarim, everybody's buying them, everybody's learning them. And this Sefer had that mazel, that kayach. So the Dayan of Kovna, the Rav in the time at Kovna was Rav Shul Leib Diskin, famous Rav Shul Leib Diskin, who, you know, we know from all the, you know, orphan home and all his chesed. He was called the Sarif Mibrisk, the fiery angel of Brisk. He was such a Talmud Chacham, going on. So we'll see in a second. So he got the Dayan of Kovna was trying to get him to learn the Sefer, and he was very busy. He says, you know, I don't like really have time. He says, you must learn the Sefer. He says, okay, let's review the Sefer. So he says, tell me what's written in it. So he tells me what's the free, 30 shilas, 50 shilas, whatever it is. So the first shilah he says, tells him, he says, what's the shilah about? So the shilah questions something on tefillin. So he says, yeah, so what does he say? He says, well, he brings this rye, and he brings that rye, and he brings that rye. Okay, fine. And the second one, what's it about? So he tells him it's about Isser Hesach Hadas by tefillin. Okay. Yeah, I can't keep your mind off. So once he heard the first, he was so smart, he heard the first tshuva, and he says, oh, probably he's going to ask this question from this sefer, he's going to give this teretz from that sefer, he's going to give this thing, he's probably going to with this chiddush. So Dayan goes, that's right. Wow. So he says, tell me, what's the third question? So he says, here's the third topic. So he says, okay, he probably said this, he said that, he said, and he does this for 29 tshuvas. 29 tshuvas, he was able to guess every single thing that's in that sefer. Because once he heard his mahalach, he heard the way he thinks, he was able for 29. So they get to tshuva number 30, and here's where the story comes in. That you have somebody who's sick, so you don't just feed him on, let's say, Yom Kippur, you feed him slowly. You give him a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. I remember I was once sick, talking Yom Kippur, and I remember Bluth Paskin for me. It's some, less than a review of Coke every 11 minutes. That was the share.
I think
they
switched it to 9.
Big job.
Maybe 9. They switched it to 9 this year.
Oh, okay, maybe switched it. I don't know. I was younger then. Remember, this is a long time ago. Maybe now he would be more mekel on me. Okay, so wait a second. So he says like this. So the Rav says, oh, he probably started with the Chacham Tzvi, Simon Kuf Lamed Ches. So he goes, no. So he says, the Avnei Meluyim, Simon Yud Ches. He goes, no. He goes, Nadi Yehuda, Madura Kama, Arachaim Lamed Vav. He goes, no. And he's like, I can't figure out. 29, he was able to figure out the whole thread. He says, know what to do. Listen to what he does. What would you say he would do? Amazing. Harav Kamim Mekayim, he gets up from his seat. Nigulish Lekupa Sat Sadaka, he walks over to the Pushka. Nasa Tefila Katsara, Vishil Shal Pruta. And he gives a little tefila, and he throws in some Sadaka. A little bit, and my bam, the chayshes of a kopika. Kopika was like, I guess, the smallest amount. So, panel died by Omer, who put same in divrei parshas drachim. I call Zoram Beshet about Seifa Sefer. He says, it must be the parshas drachim. He was right the whole way. So, what did this guy in Oilam do? He didn't go sit for 45 minutes, an hour. He saw that he needs tefillah. So he went and he took a kupikah, put it into the tzedakah box, gave a little tefillah, and he was able to find his way back and do the rest of the sefer like that. So they told this amazing story over to the Beis Halevi. So the Beis Halevi said, well, this is when you talk about Sichas Kulam Shel Talmidei Chacham. So he tells him, At Ashi Yadati She'efshel Adas Lilmoy Kesheish Roish Taif Agutta Kup. I knew up until now that how does a person learn as he has a good head? Case Nidali, now I know Shetzorch Letzarf Kup Akil a Kup. Now I know you have to put a cup to the cup. That means I have to put you have to take the coin, the cup, and put it to the cup. You have to put the cup, the coin, to the head. It means that he's, even though he's such a genius, but he understood, I'm stuck, I need to daven, I need tefillah, and I need to give tzedakah. We once said it here in the shir, chiddush, I didn't see it anywhere. But we said, why do we give tzedakah by tefillah? Why when we daven, there's an inyan to give tzedakah? So you say, because there are different sha'arim and tefillah. Why do we go to a tzaddik to daven for us? We go to a tzaddik to daven for us because he is able to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam at a higher shar. There's shari tefillah. Maybe some of you even daven in a shul called shari tefillah. There's sha'arim and tefillah. There are gates. There are different levels. So the tzaddik, when he davens, his shar is up here. My shar is down here. So I go to the tzaddik and I say, would you daven for me? I need help with whatever it is. Because my tefillah is only going to go into here. I need somebody who can get me up here. But when I give tzedakah before I daven, so I just bump myself up a shar. And when I, because I gave tzedakah, I'm a bigger tzaddik than I was before I gave tzedakah. So every time I do a mitzvah, I help somebody, I go up another shar. So my sha'arim, I want to get into the highest shar that I can. So he taught us that this is, that's what we say, terem yitzmach. Adam HaRishon needed to come, and Adam HaRishon needed to daven if for there to be rain. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is avil tefilos and shol tzadikim. He wants to have their tefillas, and he wants really the tefillas of all of Klal Yisrael. So he set up a world, and the world needs davening. So we can actually make things physically better in the world by davening. So when we had Nebuchadnezzar, this person was sick, and we davened for him, Rabbi Hashem heard our tefillas, Baruch Hashem, always hears our tefillas, so the person got better. So we're able to do that, but that's part of the entire idea of our tefillahs. Okay, let's go on to the Nachash. And we have over here, let's go on to Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Let's talk about the Nachash. Nachash was, says was Orem, the Nachash was not good, I think what they call a bad actor. But Nachash shall you Orem mikol chayas asoda. Sher asa Hashem lekim, the Nachash is Orem, he was cunning. And this is how to translate. Vayomer el Isha, af ki omer el kim lo yisaychu, we call eitz agan. Hashem said, don't eat. You know, and she got messed up, right, with the touching it, and so on. And that's the whole story. So the Gemara tells us, there's a Medrash that says, that the Nachash was known as a melech ksil, zokenu ksil. We call them, the Nachash a melech, a king, a zaken and a ksil. Old, and he's foolish. What does the Nachash have? Why is it called that way? Who is this Nachash? So the Chazal tell us that the Nachash, who's Satan, who Yetzirah, Shlomo Melech called him, Melech, zaken and ksil. An old king and a fool. So he says, we understand...
Why king?
So Chazal tells, why is he a king? Because everyone listens to him. Oh. And a king is somebody who has universal buy-in, you know what I'm saying?
Why
everyone
listens.
What?
Why a fool?
That's what we're getting to. That's the fourth. We'll get there. Okay, so he says, they call him somebody, Reb David Lelva, call him Rabban Shaul, call B'nai Agayla. He's the Rav of all the B'nai Agayla. Because Makarni Echad Bilvad, because he says, I only know one Rabban Shaul Agayla, the Yetzirah, because everyone listens to him. Why is he called a Zaken? He's called a Zaken because he helps us. I mean, he helps us. He challenges us throughout our life, from the day we start till the day we've gone. As opposed to Yetzer Tov, which starts when we're 13. So Yetzer Hara is there for our whole life. So he's a Zaken. He's around a long time. As long as we're around, he's around. He never leaves us. 24/7.
Why does he get a head start?
What of the Yetzer Tov? So Rabbi Shem set it up like that. Why did Rosh Hashanah like that? I don't know. That's a good question. Okay, so now we come to the main question we're asking. And why is he called a Ksil? Why is he a Ksil? Why is he foolish or not foolish? Zalkin, he seems to be, we got done saying he's very smart. He knows how to trick people, trap people. So why is he called a Ksil? A Ksil, so Zalkin Moshe Feinstein, that we have to understand that we have a misunderstanding of the word Shaita. We don't know what a shaita is. A shaita is potem and a mitzvah, and we think of a shaita as being nebuch, a person of a very, low intelligence, somebody who, with brain damaged. I mean, we think nebuch. We think of a shaita. We think of that. Says Rav Moshe, that's not at all true. He says Rav Moshe, a shaita can be a very regular person. Shaita can be a regular person. So why is he a shaita? So he's a shaita because
he
acts in funny ways, right? So the Gemara is very good. The Gemara says, what's the case of a shaita? He says, they give examples. The Gemara says that, he says, somebody walks, a yaitzi chidi belively, walks up by himself at night. How long be basic forest? He sleeps in basic forest. How makaris tsuso, he tears his begotten. How ma'av mashanaisno, he loses everything you give him. That is called a shaita. Says the Beis Yosef, Shalachik Rabbi Yochanan, Shein Ois Echem Em Dino Kishaita, Lav Davke Echem, not just these four things, but somebody who acts in a bizarre, strange way can be called a Shaita. Somebody doesn't have his head screwed on straight, as they say. Somebody acts strangely. There's something wrong. Sometimes we say, it says by the Saita, it says, Chazal tells, Ein Adam Chaita Elen Kein Nichnas Bo Ruach Tos. A person does a chet because he has Ruach Tos in him. He's not normal. And that's a shait. So shait could be a person that would otherwise functions in a normal way, but he does bizarre things. He tells a story, and this also brings up a story that happened, Didi Haviovden, we told the story. He says he once was walking by a meshuggah house. He was walking by a house of crazy people. And there were two yidden there. And the yidden called him over, and they said, you know, it's very hard. We're the only yidden in this place. You know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. They give us a very hard time. And we're really just like regular people. It's so nice to talk to somebody in Yiddish. We can talk to you in the Mama Loshen. And could you help us get out of here? Could you free us? And he said, I felt so bad for them. I see they're such nice, normal people. So I said, I'm going to do what I can for them. So one of them turns to him and says, Aval Laman Hashem, Asay Zois Meir, do it quickly. Al Ta'akim Zagula. Don't keep the gula back. Don't stop the dude. So I thought it meant, when I read this, I meant gula means our being free. So he says to them, he says, Lakas gula? What does that mean? So he says, the guy tells him, oh, I'm Mashiach. And Mashiach is, he's got to come. And as long as I'm here, I can't come. So you need to free me so I can be Mashiach. So the other guy tells him, he says, aha, okay, noida dover. Now I understand why they're here. And then the other guy tells him, he says, I know, he's not Mashiach. That's ridiculous. He can't, who's he saying is Mashiach? So he says, and how do you know he's not Mashiach? Tells the second guy. He says, I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam, I never sent him. Now, I would have thought this story he made up, except I had the exact same maisa. I was my brother, Zalzayin Gesund, went to visit somebody in LIU, in the ninth floor, which is the psych ward. And I remember when we walked in over there, so we went to visit a certain person. So he starts talking. It must be, I guess, Meshuggah, he's talking about Mashiach. So he turns to us and he says that certain people say about a certain person he's Mashiach. He says, I know he's not Mashiach, because I know who the real Mashiach is. But he wouldn't tell us. But he met Mashiach, and he talks to him all the time. And he seemed so normal when we first saw him. And then he turns out to be Meshuggah. So it's the same thing over here. He said, that's what he says. Zakr Moshe, when it says he's Melech Shaitu Ksil, it's because he means he can take normal people and turn them into a fool. He can take people who are normal. And sometimes you have a person, and you say, especially a teenager, you say, I don't understand, why are you doing this? It makes no sense. That's it. Because he became a Shnichtas Baruch Shtus. So he says, in that way, that was the Nachash. So the Nachash was able to come to Chava and take somebody who's a normal person and mamish twister. And that's the Ksil, that's the Melech Zokin Ksil, that's the Kayach of the Melech Shaita. That's the kayach of the nachash, that's the kayach of the Yetzirah. And that's something that we all have to look out in our whole life and watch out for. And we laugh at it because we hear these stories and then we laugh at it. But if we think a little bit about our behavior, we find out that we do these types of things too.
It's not just strange, so, it's evil.
It's what?
It's not just strange, it's evil.
In this case, in the case of Nachash, he did something with Jesus. He's getting to go again. Right, right, very good. The Yetzirah is not just telling you to do something strange, he's telling you to do something which is connected to the Ratzon of the Bo'yer.
Right.
So therefore you can take a north. So you see, and that's the Yesod. The Yesod is as we spoke last time we learned, we said if you take a look at the in the old Maxwell House of God, as we spoke about that last time, the old Maxwell House of God, the Russia was a guy with an axe and he looked all crazy, right? And then when we were in Yeshiva, I remember they used to sell, that's wrong. The Yetzirah looks like a Rosh Hashiva and he's wearing a frock because he wants to fool you. He can't fool you when he looks like that. You'll never go with him. So he fools you. So you think you're going in this way and he's going in that way. And that's really what we all have to look out for. We have to look out for the Melech, the Shaitav Seal. So we learned two things today. We learned one is we can learn from Adam Rishon the importance of Tefillah and the importance of everything is ultimately tied into our Tefillah. Everything happens to our Tefillah and it won't happen unless we ask, just like Leah did not have the fourth child because she didn't ask and Moshe didn't heal because he didn't ask. So we have to ask. And also we learn that we always have to be on guard for the Yetzirah, which is not somebody that's going to look, he's going to be a Melech. He's going to look like a Melech. He's going to come in there, an old Zaken, he's going to look like a Zaken Melech, right? But he's going to turn us into a Kseel if we aren't careful and watch ourselves. We're here, precious gracious, and I wish we could be here for the rest of the day. I apologize, there's so much to do. And yet, so next week I have an appointment, so we're going to make sure 12:30 to 1:05.